Hello everyone, and thank you for joining us. This is our first Azure Networking Deep Dive session. I am here with my colleagues Christoph, Richard, and Federico, and we are part of a regional team with a focus on networking. I want to inform you that this session will be recorded. I want to make the recording available for anybody who could not attend. So just be aware that this session is recorded. I want to do a very quick introduction of the team and of the goal of this series. So, as I said earlier, we are a regional team and we are networking sales specialists. And our goal here is to help you better understand the way networking works in Azure and how to plan and design the connectivity to the Microsoft Cloud. So we have a plan. We will follow a readiness plan, and we will walk you from the simplest to the most complex scenarios. And this will happen once per month. So we will do Skype calls, and we are an EMEA region, so the date and time will be mostly EMEA friendly, and I apologize in advance for anybody who's joining us from Asia or from the Americas. This is the first call, and the last one will be in June. So overall, we will have around 9 calls. And as I said earlier, all those calls will be recorded, and I will make sure to upload them on Channel 9 so that they come out as a series. In terms of the format, we will have a business overview with our partner sales executives, so Christoph or Richard, and a technical overview with the TSP, so the pre-sales engineers, so either Federico Guarini, who is our lead for networking and security, or myself. And in terms of the audience, this call is open to any customer or to any partner who are interested in learning more about Azure Virtual Networking. The agenda for today is the following. So, the very, very quick intro of this series and the team. And then Christoph will walk us through the business part. He will give us an overview of the networking ecosystem. I will walk you through the technical part. And today we will cover the, let's say, the basics of Azure Virtual Networking. If you are already comfortable with Azure Virtual Networking, you might feel like this is just an introduction. But this is our main goal. We want this session to be really the first session that anybody would watch as part of the series so that they can follow the other sessions smoothly. And we will take some time for Q&A, but my colleagues are all on the call. So if you have any questions or any slides that we are presenting, please feel free to post your questions via IM, and Christoph, Richard, or Federico will pick it up. I also would like to announce the agenda for the future sessions because I have received a lot of emails this morning and yesterday, and people were really hoping we would do sessions about how to secure the virtual networks. So this will be the next session. It will happen in November, and they also asked us about they also asked us for a session about InterVNet connectivity, and this one would happen in December. I have not sent the invites yet, so if you have not received an invite, that's totally normal. I will send them out later today. If you would like to receive an invite, if you would like to make sure you have it, just send me an email to sallym@microsoft.com with an empty body, but just as a subject, put Azure Networking Deep Dive invite, and I'll make sure you are in the mailing list. And now, Christoph, if you're here, I'll let you walk us through the overview of the networking ecosystem.
Yes, thank you, Sally. So hello everyone, I'm Christophe Leroux. I am partner sales executive within the EMEA Azure networking team, and I'm very happy to share with you the basics of what Azure networking is in terms of driving cloud business. Sally and Federico will drive you through the technical details. So basically how to define what Azure networking is. Most of it is in these slides. So we of course talk about ExpressRoute and how to privately connect to Azure Cloud, but not only, We'll talk about how to connect VMs or set of VMs together, how to protect VM from each other, like with a network security group, how to point to virtual appliance with user-defined routing, how to connect VNex together with VNet peering, all that, VPN gateways as well, all that are part of the Azure networking concepts. So when we talk about Azure networking, we'll cover these different subjects. Why is it important? Youssef Khalidi, our Microsoft Corporate Vice President, said at Ignite 2 weeks ago, you cannot have a first-class cloud without a first-class network. So basically, you as a customer cannot deliver a first-class cloud service to your company if you don't define the first-class network foundation on which these cloud workloads will be deployed. So this is key. And this is an example of a real customer life. If you see this customer, he has started to deploy virtual machines and storage.
Christoph, I'm sorry. Yes? Sorry to interrupt. Can you please make yourself a presenter and move the slides? They are not moving.
They are not moving. Yet.
Yes. Yes, it's still. Okay. It's loading.
Okay.
Okay, great. It's moving now. So now it's Youssef Khalidi's slide. You can go on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that. So let's look at this customer. He has deployed a certain number of workloads, but in a specific sequence. First, started with virtual machines and storage, tested the Azure environment. When this customer was ready to move forward to high criticality workloads, then in the red box, you see that ExpressRoute has been configured. Once this ExpressRoute is configured, then you start adding machine learning, big data, IoT hub, etc., etc. So there is a sequence in the cloud project. First, you test the cloud. You make sure that everything is working fine. And then before moving to critical workloads, then you deploy the network foundation. In this slide, it's ExpressRoute. It could be a firewall. It could be an accelerator like Riverbed. It is anything that makes sure that your network will support your cloud ambition. And we have everything you need in Azure networking. We have, of course, the servers that are connected with security, with performance, and we have announced 20 gigabit per second of performance between the server and the network inside the data center, which is more than any of our competitors. We have built-in devices like load balancing, virtual networks. We have connectivity between the data centers. All these functions are connected to a big software-defined network. It's so big that we cannot buy it off the shelf. It's so big that we have to develop it ourselves. There's no one manually configuring your connection. It's all automated within Microsoft Data Center. So it's a giant software-defined network. And this software-defined network is connected to our global infrastructure. We'll see it in the next slide. And this global infrastructure is connected to internet and to private networks like VT, Orange, Tata, etc. This This is a representation of our global network. It spans almost all continents. It appears in 107 exchange locations with more than 3,500 ISPs. Why is it important? For instance, I have been asked by a customer how to efficiently connect in India to its European tenant. It was a Skype for Business tenant. My answer was to check which ISP was connected to Microsoft network in India. It was Tata. And then I recommended to subscribe to the internet service to Tata in India so that the traffic would leave the customer site on Tata network to reach Microsoft location in India and then go from the Microsoft location in India to the customer tenant in Europe over Microsoft network. This is why it's important to have this 107 location with 3,500 ISPs connected. It's to make sure that you have the closest peering point with Microsoft network with your ISPs. And when you want to do private connectivity end-to-end for Azure, then you have ExpressRoute. So ExpressRoute with its expanding community of partners delivers a private connectivity end-to-end to Azure data centers. It delivers an increased SLA. We have now 99.95% availability SLA. It has been announced at Ignite also in September. It was before 99.9%. And why do we announce 99.95%? It's because ExpressRoute is fully redundant. Because Microsoft considers that quality of service is key, and we deploy all circuits and networking components that allow us to guarantee 99.95% of availability. And we are building this community of partners so that you will find, hopefully, your network service provider in this list. This slide is not exhaustive. There are other partners that can be found on the ExpressRoute web pages.
Christoph, there's a question that we have here, and it always comes up in those calls. Can you comment on the Middle East, please? So we have Muflehand Amin who asks if ExpressRoute is available or not in the Middle East.
Yes. So in this list, you have global partners. So you have partners that sell their service in Middle East, in Africa, everywhere in the world. So these partners can connect customers everywhere in the world. And we are also working with local partners in Middle East and in Africa. We have signed partners in Africa, MTN for instance, and we are close to have Zain in Middle East live, so that Zain could deliver ExpressRoute to their own customers. And we are working with a number of other partners in the Middle East. So this community of partners will extend with new names coming from Middle East and Africa. Thank you, Sally, for having raised this question. On top of the functions that are natively available within Azure, we have a community, another community of virtual appliances. This These appliances deliver additional functions on top of the network. They deliver sophisticated security, sophisticated telemetry, sophisticated application acceleration. So you will find, for instance, in the security domain, Fortinet, Checkpoint, Palo Alto, Barracuda. In telemetry and application acceleration, you will find Riverbed. The idea is that if you have invested in a technology in your own network, you can extend this technology inside the Azure data center. So if you have invested in Riverbed, because in Middle East you are far from the Azure data center, then you can deploy a Riverbed instance inside Azure. If you have invested in, Fortinet firewall, then you can deploy a Fortinet firewall inside Azure as well. So we are also working with leaders in the industry to have these virtual appliances available for you. So to conclude, we have everything for you to build the first class network that will support the first class cloud that you want to deliver to your employees, to your divisions inside your company. That was the first message of this first session. Sally, do you want to?
Yes, thank you very much, Christoph. Thank you. Okay, so now let's move to the overview of Azure Virtual Networking. I will take over as presenter to make sure everybody can follow on the slides. Okay, great. So I would like to start by a reminder about the basics of Azure Virtual Networking. And I would like to walk you through the key notions that will allow you to follow the rest of the Skype series. So what is virtual networking? It is a representation of your network in the Microsoft Cloud. And it allows you to have logical isolation of the Azure Cloud that is dedicated to your own subscription. You always have the control. You have the control over the IP addresses, over the security policies, over the root tables, over the DNS settings, and virtual networking will allow you to create both cloud and hybrid connectivity. So let's start from the most important notion, a notion of a virtual network, or a VNet, as we call it at Microsoft. A VNet is an isolated and logical network that provides connectivity for Azure virtual machines. And it is composed of user-defined address spaces. They can be one or more IP ranges. And it will allow connectivity for virtual machines in the same VNet, but also connectivity to external networks and on-prem DCs and internet connectivity. A virtual network is composed of one or multiple subnets. An IP subnet will provide a full layer 3 semantics and a partial layer 2 semantics. So it will support DHCP and ARP, but it will not support broadcast or multicast. Subnets can span only one range of contiguous IP addresses. And it's very important to note that virtual machines can be deployed only to subnets and not to VNets. So a virtual network interface is what would connect a virtual machine to a subnet. By default, a virtual network interface will have one private IP address. And here, private means that it is just included in the subnet's IP range. And this private IP address will always be assigned via Azure DHCP. There are two kinds of assignment here. It could either be dynamic, so the DHCP assigns the new IP when the VM is restarted, or it could be static. And if it's static, the DHCP will always assign the same IP. NICs can also do IP forwarding. Basically, they can receive packets with destination IP addresses that are different from its private IP. And here I would like to remind you or maybe announce something if you did not look at the Ignite sessions. We announced that multiple IP addresses can now, that one network interface can now have multiple IP addresses, but this is in private preview and it was announced at Ignite. So if you would like more information on this subject, you have all of the sessions online and you also have the slides. So I've talked about IP addresses. It is important to mention that there are two types of IP addresses in Azure, the public IP addresses and the private IP addresses. The public IP addresses will allow Azure resources to communicate with the internet and with the Azure public facing services of Azure. So for example, the PaaS environment. Whereas the private IP addresses will allow communication between resources in a virtual network, along with those connected through a VPN, and that without using an internet routable IP address. So, an example of elements that could be associated with public IP addresses, virtual machines or internet-facing load balancers, VPN gateways, application gateways. As for private IP addresses, they can be associated to virtual machines, to internet load balancers, or to application gateways. So I've mentioned load balancers twice. There are two types of load balancers. The external load balancers, so basically those you can use in order to provide high availability for ISVMs and PaaS role instances across accessed from the public internet. And you also have the internet load balancers, as you can see in the figure. And those, the internal load balancers, as you can see in the figure. And those will be used for an internal load balancer. And they will be, they will allow to provide high availability for ISVMs and PaaS role instances that are accessed from the other services that are in your own VNet. Another subject that is important to introduce here as part of this series is network security groups. So we have talked about subnets, we have talked about virtual machines, and we have talked about network interfaces. And most of the time customers ask, how can I control the inbound, outbound access to those elements? And this can be achieved by using the NSGs. So basically each NSG will contain one or more rules. And this will specify whether or not the traffic is approved or denied. And this will be based on the source IP address, the source port, the destination IP address, and the destination port. There are different ways of associating NSGs. You could associate it with a subnet. So the access control list rules will apply to all of the virtual machine instances in that subnet. But you, if you associate it to a VM directly, that will mean that the traffic to that individual VM will be restricted. Another subject that is important to introduce as part of the series is virtual appliances. So virtual appliances are just another virtual machines that are in your virtual network, and that will run software-based appliance functions. A good example for this is firewalls, WAN optimization solutions, and customers can create a route in Azure to route the VNet traffic through a virtual appliance to use its capabilities. I will show you how this would work in a further slide, but here I would like to make a comment. When we take calls with the customers, generally they ask, should I go for a virtual appliance or should I use NSGs or what do you recommend? What I see is that, and as Christoph mentioned earlier, if a customer has already worked with a specific firewall solution and they are comfortable with it, they generally want to extend that to the cloud and bring that kind of knowledge with them. Some other customers want to try something new like NSGs and they are very comfortable with Azure virtual networking. But there's also another thing that should be taken into consideration when making such a decision. NSGs will provide you security on your VNet. So it will provide you security at the access control list level. It will control the incoming and the outgoing packets. Virtual appliances will offer you a layer 7 security model. They will allow you to decide on an application level how you would like to filter the traffic. So NSGs will block or allow traffic or packets to get into your VNet, get into a specific subnet. Virtual appliances will do packet investigation and they will go more in depth. So here the decision will also depend on what you are trying to achieve. In terms of how name resolution works, by default, the VNet will use Azure-provided name resolution to resolve the names inside the VNet and on the public internet. However, if you connect your VNets to your on-premise data centers, you need to provide your own DNS server to resolve the names between your networks and our network. So now we have been through the key notions. Let's see how routing works in Azure VNets. So a VNet will provide a switching slash routing functionality that will allow virtual machines to talk to each other, as you can see in the figure here. But also, a VNet will allow virtual machines to talk to the internet, and that will happen through a public netted IP address. And it will also allow the virtual machines to connect to on-prem networks, either via IPsec tunnels or via ExpressRoute. Christoph mentioned ExpressRoute quickly during his overview. I am mentioning it quickly now. ExpressRoute will be one of the subjects that we will be covering during this session. So I will not go into further details now because I'm really keen on doing just an introduction of all of the key notions that are important for this series. But please be sure that we are going to cover those subjects in more in depth. So as I mentioned earlier, there are different scenarios, and Azure VNets will allow you to have an automatic way of defining rules that will facilitate this kind of communication. This is possible because there is a default set of rules that works for routing and switching traffic in Azure VNets. So you do have a route table, a system route table, and it contains those set of rules. And this will allow you to define where the IP packet must be sent. And that will be based on the destination IP address. So this is the default behavior, and this is what we call this is the default behavior of Azure VNets, and this is what we call the system route table. So there are three categories of rules, or three families of rules. The first one is the local VNet rule. This rule will always be applied when we are sending a packet, and its destination IP address is included in the VNet's address space. In that case, this rule is applied, and the traffic is sent directly to the destination VM. The second rule is cross-prem rule, and this rule will be applied whenever there is a packet that is being sent with a destination IP address that belongs to a network that is connected via ExpressRoute or IPsec. And in that case, this traffic will be sent directly to the ExpressRoute or site-to-site virtual network gateway. And if a packet is sent and it does not match any of the previous rules, it will take the default route and it will be sent over to the internet. And this is the default behavior. So what happens when you want something custom? What happens when you want to modify this behavior? You could achieve this by using what we call user-defined routes, or UDRs. And UDRs will allow you to have additional routes, and they will modify the VNet's default routing behavior or policy. Your custom route table can contain one or more UDRs, and it will also contain the system route table. And UDRs will be preferred over system routes even when they have the same prefix length. And each subnet in a VNet can be assigned a different custom route table. And since July, so this is pretty recent, a custom route table can be assigned to the gateway subnet. In order to have a better understanding of how UDRs work, let's see two use cases or two scenarios. So the first one is the scenario of the virtual appliances. So Christoph mentioned this, and I mentioned it quickly during the introduction of the key elements of networking. So according to the system route table, traffic that wants to go from VM1 will use rule 1, so the local VNet rule, and it will be sent directly to VM4 because it's within the same VNet. So if you want to change this behavior, because you want VM1 to send its traffic to the virtual appliance that you have in subnet 3, because you want packets to be investigated, and then you want the traffic to be able to go to VM4, you would introduce UDRs. And UDRs will allow you to override the natural behavior or the default behavior and use the virtual appliance in subnet 3 as an intermediate hop. So that is the first scenario. And then we have a second scenario, which is the scenario of inbound express route or site-to-site traffic. So when you send traffic from your own network to express route, and then you receive any traffic back, the default behavior would be, I do realize that this traffic has a destination, and that destination is VM1. VM1 is inside VNet1, so I will send that traffic directly to VM1. And you might want to change that behavior because you want to make sure that the traffic, when it hits your own network, will go through a virtual appliance before going to VM1. So this is also something you can achieve with UDRs. And what you would do here is that you would apply a custom route table to the gateway subnet. And this would take the traffic directly when it hits the gateway subnet to the virtual appliance, and then from there it will take it to the virtual machine 1. So again, the virtual appliance will be a transit hop that will allow the traffic to be investigated. So now that I have walked you through, let's say, the key notions or the basics of Azure Virtual Networking, I wanted to share with you some common questions that we receive from customers and also the answers to those questions. So we generally get this question from the customers. They ask what ranges of IP addresses they can use in their VNet. So there are two things a customer can do. They can either use a private IP address range that is defined in RFC 1918. So the scope is any IP address that goes from 10.0 and all of that range, or we have it here in the slide. We added the bullet point. And there is an exception to this. So if you can also use public IP addresses, but there are exceptions, and you will have to respect those exceptions. So basically, there are the five ranges of IP addresses that you see here and that you cannot use because they are used for other purposes. So multicast, broadcast, loopback, link local, internal DNS, etc. Also, customers want to generally know if there's a limit to the number of subnets in their virtual network. There is no limit, but there is a condition. All the subnets have to be fully contained in the virtual network address space, and they should not overlap with one another. Also, customers generally ask if there are any restrictions of using IP addresses within the subnets. So Azure will reserve 5 IP addresses per subnet that cannot be used. The first and the last addresses for the address space, and the 3 addresses that will be used internally for DHCP and DNS purposes. Customers also ask how small and how large a VNet and a subnet can be. The smallest subnet we support is a /29, and the largest is a /8. And to the question of can I bring or can I extend my VLAN to Azure using VNets, the answer is no. VNets are a layer 3 overlay, and Azure does not support any layer 2 semantics. And customers also want to know to which level they can do modifications on the size of the subnets once they have created a subnet. It is possible to add, remove, expand, or shrink a subnet as long as there are no VMs or services deployed within it. And it is also possible to do the same, so add, remove, expand, shrink any prefixes as long as the subnets that contain VMs or services are not affected by the change. Okay, great. So we have gone through the most common questions. We have gone through the key notions. Now it's the occasion to explain what are the design considerations you need to keep in mind when you're building your Azure virtual network. I put this slide here because we have made some announcements recently, and I do realize that maybe not all of the customers are aware of them. So for our region, for Europe, we have now all the regions that you see in green that are generally available, and the ones you see in blue are the ones that are coming soon. So for Europe, we do have the regions in the UK, and they are new and they're already available, and we also have the ones in Germany. And I would like to make a very, very quick comment here because we do get that question. The cloud we have in Germany is a national cloud, and the cloud we have in the UK and the one we have in France will be a public cloud. So in terms of the model, it will be very similar to what you already know as North Europe and West Europe, so Dublin and Amsterdam. So overall, there are five things you need to consider when you are designing your virtual networks. Everything you create in Azure is composed of one or more resources. So a virtual machine is a resource. The network interface used by that virtual machine is a resource. And the public IP address used by the network interface is a resource. The VNet the network interface is connected to is a resource. You can create those resources within an Azure region and subscription. And resources can only be connected to a VNet that exists in the same region and the same subscription. And you can connect VNets to each other. And that will require you to use the Azure VPN gateway. You can also connect VNets across regions, and you can also connect VNets across subscriptions. Another important point is you can also do hybrid connectivity. You can connect VNets to your on-prem environment either by using site-to-site VPN or by using ExpressRoute. And to finish with this part, it's important to note that different resources can be grouped together in a resource group. And resource groups are easier to manage because they are managed as a unit. And a resource group can contain resources from multiple regions. The condition is that the resources all belong to the same Azure subscription. Once you have those considerations in mind, it's important to answer a few questions before you go into the design phase. The first question is, what Azure regions will you use? Are you going to go for a public cloud model like the one we have in the UK, the one we will have in France, the one we have in West and North Europe? Will you go for a national cloud like the one we have in Germany? And once you have made that choice, and most of the customers will make two or three choices. They will pick up different regions for resiliency and for disaster recovery. But once you have thought about that, how do you achieve the inter-Azure connectivity? And would you require hybrid connectivity? And if you do, how would you like to achieve it? Once you have thought about the connectivity, which is the main enabler for the whole IaaS project, we come to the point where we design all of the other parts. So we do the sizing. How many VMs, how many cloud services roles, and how many web apps do you think you need for your solution? And do you need to do any isolation? Do you need to isolate the traffic based on groups of VMs? This is, for example, what would be achieved through NSGs. And there's always the question of, do you want to control the traffic flow, and do you want to use virtual appliances? And if you do, which virtual appliance would you use? And the seventh question is, do you need different sets of permissions? Will you have different profiles of administrators that should have different access to Azure resources? How would you like to divide the roles and responsibilities? What will be the roles, and how will you manage the administration of your subscription and of your virtual environments? So those are the key questions that need to be answered before you enter the design phase. We generally receive a lot of questions around subscriptions and VNets and how to make a choice of a final number. of subscriptions of VNets. And I had a discussion with Federico earlier. This is a subject that is it's very important to do it at the beginning of the project, and it requires you to sit with your Microsoft account team and your pre-sale resources and really study your requirements and really study what you're trying to achieve and then think what would be the best way to do it. But if we can sum up, I think there are two things you can consider when deciding about the number of VNets you would create per subscription. I think there are two main scenarios that would push you to create multiple VNets. One would be if you need your virtual machines to be in different Azure locations. So, as I mentioned just a bit earlier when we were talking about design considerations, VNets in Azure are regional. A VNet will be in West Europe, a VNet will be in North Europe. And they cannot span locations. So therefore, you will need at least one VNet for each Azure location you want to host your virtual machines in. And then another scenario would be when you have workloads that need to be completely isolated from one another. In that case, you can create separate VNets, and you can even use the same IP address space to isolate the different workloads from one another. And we also get the question for subnets. When do I use multi subnets in a VNet? How do I decide on the number of subnets? I think there are mainly four cases. The first one would be when you do not have enough private IP addresses for your network interfaces in a subnet. So if your subnet address space does not contain enough IP addresses for the number of those network interfaces, you will need to create multiple subnets. Keeping in mind the design considerations we discussed before, so the fact that Azure will reserve five IP addresses for each subnet that you cannot use, etc. And let's say, requirement would be security. So, for example, as I said, part of the questions you need to ask yourself is, do I want to separate the groups of virtual machines from one another to have a multi-layer structure? And if I do, how can I achieve that? By applying NSGs on those subnets and implementing that feature. And the third requirement would be hybrid connectivity. If you want to do hybrid connectivity, you will use VPN gateways and express route circuits, and you will connect your virtual networks to one another and also to your on-prem environment. So a VPN gateway and an express route circuit will always require a subnet of their own to be created. And the last one is virtual appliances. So you can use a virtual appliance such as a firewall, for example, or a VPN gateway in an Azure VNet. And when you do so, you do need to route the traffic to those appliances, and they need to be isolated in their own subnet. So I hope this has been helpful. I hope it helps you have at least an idea of every feature that we have in Azure Virtual Networking. And again, as I said, this is just the introduction of the series, and this is mainly the session that you would need to watch before watching the other series. Federico, are you here? I
Yes,
want
I'm here.
I saw there were questions on IM. I did not read all of them. Are there any questions you think we should highlight, or did you see any question that we need to go over to make sure everything's clear?
So far, I think that we have provided all the answers to the questions which were asked in the IM window. There was an ongoing discussion right now about using network security groups to either allow or deny traffic between domain controllers in scenarios where on-premises AD forests are extended to the cloud. And I mean, the thing that was that we needed to clarify now is that network security groups can actually have an impact on whether such a scenario works or not. If you deploy domain controllers in an Azure virtual network, you must ensure that your network security groups do allow the proper connections to happen between domain controllers in the cloud and the domain controllers which are on-premises.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we are done with the presentation here. If you have any other questions or if you have any feedback for us, Now is the time. We can take 10 minutes for Q&A if you have anything you want to share. Okay, great. Well, I guess that if there are no other questions, we could close the call. Guys, did you want to make any comment, or are we good here?
No comments on my side, Sally. It was a great call. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for attending.
Yes, thank you for attending, and I did receive some emails from people who wanted the invite, so I'll make sure those go out today. Thank you very much, and see you at our next call.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.